Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. Happy Hour Friday. This hour of the midday show is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast at padlybuys.com. If you're out there drinking something or getting ready to, send us a picture of it at TBM929, at RandyMac81 on Twitter. We'll give you a shout-out on the radio. Or just say hi. Just say hi on Twitter. We'll give you a shout-out like that as well. We'll get back into an NFL no huddle in about 20 minutes as well. Quickly get you updated on the Players' Championship. Rory McIlroy having a really nice Friday. He's 6-under today through 11 holes, so that's birdies on more than half of his holes. He's tied for first place at 11-under. Minwoo Lee also at 11-under. J.J. Spahn, 10-under. Billy Horschel.
Billy
is up there. We like that. Lucas Glover up there as well. A couple Atlanta Drive team members playing some pretty good golf. And Scottie Scheffler's off to a good start today, too. So really good leaderboard. Should be a fun weekend over there at Sawgrass as everybody's getting ready for the Masters, which is not too far away. I'm not saying like this is just a tune-up for that. This is obviously a very important tournament, too.
Right.
But some of the best players in the world are playing really good golf, which is always fun as the majors are right around the corner.
Yeah, okay, so the LIV golfers don't get to play in the Players.
Not in this one.
Not this, but obviously they'll be
back. They can play in the
Masters. They're playing Augusta and everything like that. But, I mean, it's one of those like time of year because we get – Selection Sunday is coming up.
That's right.
So we want to know what the tournament and the brackets and all the things. Like I said, the Masters there. One thing that I like, and mainly because Mike Bell put me on it, was the F1. They start their season on Saturday morning.
Yep.
Out down in Australia. So it's that different, but yet NFL. And we're getting close to the NBA playoffs and everything like that. But, yeah, it's getting, in that area of baseball's almost here.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it. And I know you said we had an Ian Anderson clip because – I didn't realize, and I heard you said it, I know both said it, and Grant said it, like, is Ian Anderson in a situation where if he's bad, he's gone?
Well, if he starts the team, starts the year on the major league roster, and if they want to send him down, he's got to clear waivers because he doesn't have any.
So that's what I'm saying. So if they want to send him down because he's pitching like crap, not saying that he will,
then someone else can get him. Someone else can pick him up. Okay. Yeah, the same thing is true of Grant Holmes.
Right.
So that's what makes it likely to me that AJ Smith-Shawver starts the year in AAA just because he has him.
Right.
He has options. So if you need to, if you need to fill a spot, somebody gets hurt or one of those guys pitches bad. Then you can call him up. But, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't. Hopefully he just pitches good,
Yeah, man. I mean, he's the last one of the crew, the lookalike crew. Him, Dansby,
I know.
Charlie.
I know.
All of them had that same little look with the hair and everything. He's the last one. The last one, which is unbelievably crazy when you think about the overturn of the pitching with this team from the night shift to damn Mike Soroka. And obviously Max Fried is gone and everything. But I thought about that the other day, just a different – like the core of the group as far as the fielders and everything.
Yeah.
I did read this morning, though, that Arcia has been asked this spring –
That's a shocker.
Yeah.
Surprising.
I was hoping he wasn't going to be Cheeks, all right?
Yeah.
I really was. But he's been Cheeks so we need everybody to play well around him.
It's never good when the whole take surrounding a guy in the lineup is, well, if you just bat him ninth and everyone else does their job, then it shouldn't hurt the team too much.
Yes.
Like, meanwhile, the last couple of you, not last year really, but the years past where you had either him or Michael Harris or whoever else batting ninth, you were getting like historic production out of that spot.
Yes.
And then that guy was also batting before Ronald Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
So you were turning the lineup over to a guy that was the best hitter in baseball or one of the best hitters in baseball at the time. It was such a huge factor in why the offense was so damn good a couple of years ago. I don't know. It's so easy to just be like, stick him at the bottom of the lineup. Oh, but the lineup after the first time through – the ninth batter becomes the guy that's up before the first batter.
Yeah.
So if like the eighth guy gets out and then he leads off the inning, he's lead off the inning with an automatic out.
Like that's the number. Bo just told me again, 056.
That's not good.
Yeah. He's been Cheeks.
Yeah.
He's been Cheeks. Mm-hmm. But there's nobody up there to upgrade, is there? Well, I mean,
they got a young shortstop, yeah, but I think he's too young.
I mean, go throw in AJ Smith-Shawver and get your shortstop.
Quit trying to trade AJ Smith-Shawver. Trying to get this guy out of here. Go. He's 3 years ahead of pace.
Go trade AJ Smith-Shawver and get you a shortstop that can hit and field at the same time, because the defense, I mean, how much longer can the defense keep you in the damn lineup? Oh boy, but he's playing the hell out of shortstop though. How much longer can we keep relying on that?
All right, let's do this as the free agency period in the NFL has cooled, obviously. Like, the first tier guys have gotten the contracts they've gotten. The second tier, like the 1 year contracts, have started to kind of dry up as well. There's still, like, if you're a veteran and you don't have a contract yet, now you're kind of probably just waiting until the summer, waiting for somebody to get hurt or whatever and trying to get on a roster.
Intern today, since Monday. So this is my NFL teams have now signed players to $4.8 billion in compensation, including $2.19 billion in guaranteed signings.
All right.
Damn. So yeah, the money's been going.
Yeah.
They've been shoveling out the money, like you said, but now it's
some teams have more to shovel than others.
But now you're in a point, like you just said, you're signing the veterans, veteran minimums and things like that. And you're also, like we saw with the Falcons, they retain a lot of their own guys.
Yeah. Or if you view yourself as a veteran who's not a minimum guy, then you wait until the summer and somebody gets hurt or whatever. I'm interested to see what happens with Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, like Cooper's, I think I saw right this morning, Bunk, that, like, I think it said this Cooper's warning is it's more of a compensation for him type thing, meaning he wants like between 13 and 14 million a year. And so
you think he's going to get that?
I don't. But
Neither do I.
But I could be wrong, you know, and then it looks like Dallas is, as far as coming into the, Dallas needs a guy like him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're talking about 13, 14 a year. I got to give you a one-year deal. And I'm sure he wants more than a one-year deal. Yeah. So that's one thing you got to keep your eye on as far as Cooper Kupp, because he does things that, you know, that all teams need. A guy that gets open and catch the damn football. You know, a guy that's tough as hell. And he is tough as they come, you know, as far as, especially in the run game, because he was such – and we always talk about that in this system that Sean McVay runs. Like, I know they have the same versions of everybody's offense. The same version is here in Atlanta, Minnesota, L.A., San Francisco, and everything. But don't nobody ask their receivers to be as much of a run game as Sean McVay and the Rams. And that could have taken its toll, because this dude was lead blocking up in the damn hole.
It had to have.
You know what I mean? Like, this dude was like.
They didn't move on from Cooper Kupp because they're tired of him.
Yeah.
They moved on from him because he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, man.
Like, if he had played the way that he played a couple of years ago, he'd get a new contract and still be there. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. But the great thing about him was, unlike Matt Stafford, like, Matt Stafford should have cashed in after the Super Bowl.
Cooper Kupp did.
Yeah. You know, Cooper Kupp's like, run me mine. And they did. And they did. And so, but yeah, he's still, in my opinion, a top-notch player that plays in the slot, going to block. And the one thing about him is he don't drop a lot of balls, and he knows how to get into those voids and everything. So, yeah.
If he can stay on the field, he's going to help a team.
Yes.
Interested to see where he ends up. But again, as a lot of this stuff has sort of slowed down a little bit, just looking at the NFC South, pre-draft, post-free agency, and this kind of gets back to something we started the show with and we've talked a lot about this week, is like, that's still the goal, right, to win the division. That's still the first thing you got to do. The division got better.
The division gets Rod Terry another year.
Okay. Yeah, because playoffs.
Yes, because playoffs. So, but, yeah.
I mean, you look at, you know, nobody did anything crazy in the division because, again, a couple of the teams didn't have any money and one of the teams is the Panthers. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, the division didn't get, like, it didn't get easier, I don't think.
No.
It was supposed to already be easy, right? And you still couldn't do it. So just kind of stacking up what some of the other teams in the division have done and what the Falcons have done. I don't know if the Falcons gained any ground on anybody this week.
I mean, no. I mean, you look at, what did the Saints do? The Saints went out and they obviously, we talked about Cam Jordan. They got J.R. Reed, very good safety to pair with Tyrann Mathieu, who restructured his contract. I mean, they didn't get anything better offensively.
They brought back Chase Young.
Which, I mean, if
for a little more money than I thought he was going to get, too.
If name and aura gets you paid, he's going to get paid.
Because he did. Like, I didn't think it was going to look like that for Chase Young, but it was a pretty nice little contract.
Yeah. When I saw the contract, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
All right, then. You know, but like I said, name and aura gets you. You know who else name and aura going to get paid? Thibodeau up in New York.
Yeah.
Same thing. They you know, well,
it's the same thing like what happened for Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. Like, they don't want a damn thing. The guy got so much money. Meanwhile, Purdy's been to two NFC championship games, and San Francisco, they're still talking about it.
Then you look at what, you know, what Tampa did. They went and got pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Re-signed a lot of their own guys. I saw Levante, rightfully so, coming back on another 1-year deal. But no, they didn't do it. I mean, they kept Chris Godwin. I mean, that was a big
deal. Yeah, they got Hassan Reddick and Anthony Nelson.
And I think that's good. Then you look at Carolina. We thought they had Williams.
Thought they had Milton Williams.
Yeah, to pair up with Big Derrick Brown, but they don't have that.
Trayvon Morgan's a nice player, though.
He's a great player. He's a really good player. You lose probably, I think, the heartbeat of your defense. Shaq decided to move on from him.
Did he go somewhere yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. So they decided to move on
from
him.
He's been hurt a lot.
They signed, you know, the really good young corner to the biggest deal.
Yeah. J.C. Horn got a big contract.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they got some issues as far as the lines of scrimmage, especially offensively. So they can find some ways to shore up that. But then you go to the Falcons. I think this is, I think right now, like I said, pre-draft is the most even probably division of football, as far as team-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a big separation. And I'm talking about separation because I still think all these teams are average.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think all four of the teams, I look at Carolina below average and New Orleans below average. But I look at Atlanta and Tampa as just average teams.
Well, and that's been one of the big disappointments of the last couple of years. It's leading into the season. It's like, well, you should at least be able to win this division.
Right.
And they haven't been able to win the division. I mean, that's a credit. Look, credit. Say what you want to say about the way Tampa kind of handled everything post-Brady. They've made the playoffs every year post. Mm-hmm. I know it's only been a couple of years, but they've made the playoffs both years post-Brady and even won a playoff game 2 years ago.
Todd Bowles is a hell of a football coach.
I think their GM's a damn good GM, too.
Baker Mayfield is a damn good player.
Mm-hmm.
You say who?
Their GM.
Oh, yeah, Light?
Yeah,
oh,
Light does a really good job.
Dude, he does a great job. He does a great job. And the biggest thing, what he does, what he's always done, like, when you are a buck, he keeps you. He keeps you around. You know what I mean? It was like 4 or 5 opportunities when Mike Evans was going to leave, you know, because then they get the deal done. It was the same thing with Chris Godwin. I thought Chris Godwin was gone,
mm-hmm.
you know. And like you mentioned when we talked about it on Monday, you know, he's coming off of a damn dislocated ankle. And so, but they gave him the money because other teams were going to offer more. And then he saw the ability to go get Baker and then re-sign Baker because I thought he was going to leave. This year, I was like, okay, I think they're going to let Baker offer him the contract because, you know, the quarterback contract, he's like, Baker ain't getting that. And they came with the 3 for $105 or something. Mm-hmm. Baker signs it, and mm-hmm. now you got that. So, but I was thinking about this the other day. Would they consider extending Baker this offseason?
This offseason?
Yeah.
I don't know about this offseason. Mason, if he plays like he has been playing,
because
again he's winning them games.
That's what I'm saying.
Last year their offensive line was so hurt and so bad. Like that guy was out there keeping plays alive, making plays downfield, and like even when they were losing games, he was keeping them in it long enough to catch the Falcons in the end and win the division. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that again. That's the biggest frustration of the last couple of years is how far out ahead you got last year. And then just allowed the wheels to fall off as the season went on, and still missed the playoffs. Even after they were 4-0 in the division, and beat the Bucs twice, who won the division, and still allowed them to track you down by the end of the season because of how bad things got. Again, I think like on paper, the Bucs and the Falcons are clearly better than the Panthers and the Saints.
Yes,
but it comes back to you know what it's always going to come back to with this conversation with the Falcons and Michael Penix, like. You know, I mean, he's essentially going to be a rookie quarterback mm-hmm. next season. And we really liked what you saw in those three games. But, like, he's got to play really, really well in order for the Falcons to outplay all these teams and win the division.
I agree with that. I mean, the defense has got to help him out. But Michael Penix has got to be good. Like, he can't be rookie good. He's got to be good. He's got to mm-hmm. be, you know what I mean? He's got to put up numbers. Because, and the thing about it, he has a supporting cast, in my opinion, to do that. I think the Falcons' supporting cast is really good. It starts with Bijan, but I think Drake.
Especially, on offense.
Yeah, I think Drake, I mean, and they have a good offensive line. I think Drake is going to take another one because you can look at Drake and watch him play and see this dude. He got it. Moody, he stays healthy. He's that guy. It's going to be about 8. Can 8 get it? Because if he can do what me personally thinks that he can with his ability, do they can be one of the best offenses in ball?
Yes, that can happen.
Yes,
but you know, That guy.
Yes.
He's got to do it.
He's got to.
Penix, unlock him.
He's got to come.
He's got the keys.
He's got to come eat.
He's got the keys. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to join us at 12:20. Thanks for being with us on a happy hour Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.